The rain report for July 18, 2014 is coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the mildewy studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. Some of the most popular presentations at the Dayton Hamvention each year are given during Carol Perry WB2MGP's Youth Forum, a three-hour forum that draws a big crowd, as was the case at the 2014 Hamvention. The first speaker this year happened to have been 16-year-old Jacob Keough, KD0NVX of Sullivan, Missouri. He delved into the history of amateur radio.
Amateur radio can be tracked back to the early 19th century. However, the amateur radio we know came from the early 20th century, yes. We found some of the first books began documenting early amateur radio operators in the 20th century. Amateur radio was mainly comprised of experimenters, scientists, and hobbyists early on, as it is still today. And the Radio Act of 1912 marked the first issuance of amateur radio licenses to Americans in December of that year. The first license class was the amateur first class and amateur second class. Those were the first ever licenses issued by the United States to amateurs in the U.S. Around 1917, World War I had brought amateur radio to a screeching halt. Everything was cut off because of the war. We need radio spectrum for the war, so can't have little experimenters doing their thing. Sadly, that happened. Congress ordered all amateur radio operators to cease transmission and dismantle their equipment. After World War I ended, amateur radio was permitted to resume operations. On October 1st, 1919, amateur radio service restarted, and then everything went back to normal. During this period, a lot of things started to happen. In 1921, American hams began saying, "Hey, Great Britain, why don't we try and talk to each other? Because we haven't really sent transatlantic radio transmissions before. So let's try to communicate." Americans started to be heard in the UK, but there was no real interchange. Nobody was talking to each other. They were just hearing each other. And then in November 27th, 1923, the first transatlantic radio contact happened between American ham Fred Schnell and French amateur Leon Deloy. Shortly after this, the first contact between the UK and the United States happened in December 23rd between London and West Hartford, Connecticut. These contacts helped prompt the first ever International Radio Telegraph Conference in Washington, D.C. This is when 80, 40, 20, and 10 meters were established. They had a treaty that made that a frequency allocation. And then in 1933, Robert Moore, W6DEI, began single sideband that we use today, began being developed, and he started experimenting on 75 meters in the lower sideband mode. By 1934, there were several amateurs using SSB on the air. World War II. During the German occupation of Poland, priest Maximilian Kolbe, SP3RN, was arrested by the Germans. The Germans believed his amateur radio transmissions were somehow involved in espionage, and he was transferred to Auschwitz on May 28, 1941. After some prisoners escaped, the Germans ordered that 10 prisoners were to be killed, and he was martyred when he sacrificed himself for these people. He's considered a patron saint of amateur radio operators. In World War II, like in World War I, U.S. Congress suspended all amateur radio operations, with most Americans serving in the armed forces at the time. The U.S. government created the War Emergency Radio Service that would remain in service until 1945. After the war, amateur radio service resumed, with many hams using converted war surplus radios such as the ARC-5 for their home uses. After World War II, in 1947, the higher 300 kilohertz segment of the world allocation for 10 meters was taken away. It was 29, 700 to 30. And during the 1950s, hams continued the development for single sideband for HF voice communication. So that continued to be developed, and a lot of hams started using it more, as we do today on the HF spectrum. In 1961, the first ever Oscar satellite was launched. This would mark the first amateur satellite that we use, and there would be many more Oscar satellites launched in further years. Amateur radio operators were in great assistance in keeping the station in Antarctica in communication with the people at home. The Navy personnel got their messages back home via amateur radio operators. In the late 20th century, at the World Administrative Radio Conference in Geneva, Switzerland, in 1979, the work bands were established to be 30, 17, and 12 meters. Automated message systems as well as packet radio were improved upon in the 1980s by amateurs. Many digital communications modes were developed in the 1990s as people got the power of computing in their hands. PCs enabled amateurs to develop software which had never been possible before because we didn't have computers in everyday people's homes. PSK31, DSP, and software-defined radio technology began to be developed during this time. Amateur radio's role in the information age. Today we are in the information age, and it is easier for people to have a cell phone and just dial a friend's number and send a message to them via SMS or call them. Early on in the 1900s, we didn't have that. Radio technology was brand new. There were no digital protocols that allowed people to dial a number and instantly be rendered a link to another person. Everything was analog back then. Nowadays, everything is very, very simplified and easy for everyday people to use. Amateur radio isn't necessarily relevant in everyday people's communication. However, some of the most deeply rooted original purposes for amateur radio are still relevant today as when they were in amateur radio's infancy. Socializing. Amateur radio has had a tight-knit community all throughout its history. New licensees can get on local 2-meter repeaters or 10-meter nets and talk amongst each other about any conceivable topic, really. Nets are the social qualities of amateur radio compressed into a formal group conversation. Licensees can join in on a net and talk and learn about the ropes of amateur radio, or just talk about anything. Getting on a formal net or just a net of any type isn't even remotely the only form of socialization on amateur radio. One can just get on a frequency and call CQ and asking for others, strike up a conversation about anything, in case you accidentally unplug the internet. While cellular communications, internet communications, and other technologies continue to spread to even the most remote villages, amateur radio will continue to be the most redundant form of communications. Most modern methods of communications are wired-based and offer much higher data transfer rates and more flexibility for the everyday user. However, a natural disaster is all you need to completely disconnect a city from the whole world. Amateur radio, based on portable, non-stationary transmitters, as well as stationary stations, offers an organic and robust network of operators ready to relay messages and information in the event of a disaster. Amateur radio operations involve no over-wire communications, excluding Echolink and other VoIP things, such as AllStarLink and the smaller VoIP integrations with amateur radio, which ensures a great reliability in the case that a natural disaster would happen, like a tornado or wildfires. Developers. People who develop, experiment, and build various sorts of technology can find the wonderful development platform that is amateur radio. Amateur radio is the perfect place to test wireless technologies. In the late 19th century, amateur radio was comprised of, like I said, experimenters, scientists, and enthusiasts. Today, this continues to be true as many people build new devices utilizing the amateur radio spectrum for data transfer, telemetry, and communications.
The voice of 16-year-old Jacob Keogh, KD0NVX, excerpted from the 2014 Youth Forum held during the Dayton Hamvention in suburban Dayton, Ohio. The Rain Report can be heard as part of the Amateur Radio Information Net in repeater-friendly format on IRLP Reflector 9102 on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. Central Time. That's IRLP Reflector 9102 on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. Central Time. Come join us! The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain. All rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.